Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you all for joining us today as we dive into God's Word and search to answers to some of life's questions. The question today kind of hit me yesterday while I was studying. Song kind of came across, and I had a different thought, but I was kind of led to go this way tonight. The question today is, did you think to pray? Do we think to pray? Every time we pick up our phone during the day, I'm sure, pretty sure if we kept track of it, it would be a staggering number. Compared to that, how often do we pray? We're going to begin today in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew, in chapter 26, we're going to shoot for about verse 39. This is when Jesus was in the garden. He was in a place called Gethsemane, and he told his disciples back in verse 36, it says, "Sit here while I go and pray." But he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to be very sorrowful and heavy. And he said unto them, verse 38, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Verse 39, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Jesus knew what was coming to him, "but nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he came, in verse 40, "He cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep." So he told his disciples, "Tarry here and watch with me." No doubt they were supposed to be watching and praying with Jesus. They were special. They were brought a little further. He came back and found them asleep. And he said, "Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour?" He said, "Watch and pray," verse 41, "that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The spirit is willing. Whenever we are saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit guides us and pushes us to do that which is right in the sight of God. And it says the spirit is indeed willing. It will help us, but the flesh is weak. We ourselves as humans are weak, and so we don't pray like we should. I'll be the first to admit that I don't. And so we don't pray that we like we should, and we don't no doubt talk to God the way we should. Oftentimes we don't even listen to him the way that we should. But Peter here was kind of in a special circumstance. He was sitting here, and Jesus said, "Watch, pray for me." But they could see that Jesus had said there that he was exceedingly sorrowful and heavy. And so he had the unique opportunity to sit and pray for Jesus. And Jesus was gone for an hour, and they couldn't sit there and watch and pray with him for an hour. Verse 42, "And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done." In verse 43, "He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy." They were tired. Our preacher, kind of in a picking manner one day, said that a guy asked him one time how long to pray. And he said about an hour would be a real good place to start. And that's a heck of a task to ask for, that we sit and pray for an hour. But if we get down to really what we should be praying for, it really shouldn't be that difficult to sit and pray and ask and beg and talk to God for a solid hour. It said here that they could not stay awake here with Jesus for an hour. And so Jesus went and left them and prayed a third time. And he came back unto them and saith unto them, verse 45, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand." No doubt this is one of the last times that the disciples got to spend with Jesus before he was taken and arrested. And they fell asleep on him. Friend, today we don't know how many more opportunities we're going to have. We don't know how many chances we're going to have to pray for a friend of ours, for a family member, for a spouse, a wife, a kid, a grandkid, a church member. We don't know how many more times we're going to have to pray for them. This could be the last one. Our prayer could be the one that makes a difference. No doubt today we're going to talk about how the power of prayer has been proven in the Bible. And then we're going to read where Jesus told us how to pray. So flip with me, if you would, to Acts in chapter 12. Acts in chapter 12, We're going to start reading about verse 5. Peter was in prison. In verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. So Peter was in prison here, and the church in that city, no doubt where Peter had been, was sitting there praying for him. The church at Antioch, because Peter had been put into prison, and so they were having a special prayer service praying for him. And when Herod, verse 6, would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. So Peter wasn't like an ordinary prisoner. No doubt they didn't put prisoners between two guards individually guarded and wrap them up with two chains. Peter was kept there by the order of Herod. No doubt the people charged were charged with their life. So that they were putting their life on the line here guarding Peter. That if he escaped, it would be them that would be on the chopping block. And so we had two men sitting beside him, and then the keepers before the door kept the prison. Peter bound in chains. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on his side, said, "Hey, boy, wake up." He said, it raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And the chains fell from his hands. So no doubt the guards and Peter were all asleep, and the angel come over there, and if you can kind of imagine him, kind of hitting him, bumping him, smote him on the side, said, "Arise up quickly," and the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind thy sandals." So he did, and he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So Peter didn't even know what was going on here. Okay, so they're having a prayer service. Prayer was made without ceasing. They were steadily praying at this church here at Antioch. Or no doubt it says down here in the bottom that it was in a house, but it was the church members from there that were praying unto God for Peter. And so this is answered prayers, but Peter didn't know it. Peter thought that he saw a vision. So verse 10, and they were past the first and second ward, and they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And so not only did the chains fall off and the guards not see him, the gates opened up on their own. Nobody there to open them up. And Peter was come to himself and said, "Now I know assuredly the Lord has sent out his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were together praying." So once he kind of realized that it was all for real, he showed up to Mary, the mother of John's house. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but she ran and told how Peter stood before the gate. So these people in this house were steady praying for Peter. And all of a sudden, there's a knock at the gate, and the maid, the damsel, the young girl come and showed up. And she didn't even open the gate. She heard his voice, and she recognized him and told how Peter stood at the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." She told them, "Hey, your prayers worked. Peter's here. He's standing at the gate." They said, "Oh, you crazy. You don't know what you're talking about." There's kind of an old story I've heard people talk about it all the time. Are we the guy that, the farmer that prays for rain and waits for rain? Or are we the farmer that prays for rain and then goes and gets on the tractor and plants the seeds? Are we the one that pray and, well, the old saying goes, if prayer hits the ceiling? Does it stop at the ceiling, or does it go all the way through? Do we have the faith to believe that whatsoever we ask of God, he will deliver? Or are we kind of praying out of habit? Are we no doubt memorizing prayers just so that they sound good to other people? Not necessarily focusing on the content. The prayer is a conversation. It's how we speak to God. And so it said here that they thought that she was crazy. He said, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And said, it is his angel. So this is not Peter that's over here at the gate. This is his angel. All right. So now they're not only believing that their prayers made a difference. And so Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him and were astonished. I tell you what, I've seen a lot of prayers answered. All too often, we find ourselves surprised. We find ourselves surprised whenever God answered prayers that he promised us he would answer. And we really didn't quite have as much faith as we thought we did or that we needed to. And so whenever they saw him here, they were astonished. But he beckoned unto them with a hand, hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. So he told them, go tell the people, go show the people how your praying made a difference. After this, do you think the people prayed a little more earnestly? Do you think that they had a little bit more faith whenever they prayed? I feel like if this was to happen to me, that it would totally and completely change my outlook on prayer. Flip over with me, if you would, to Philippians in chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4. My Bible kind of has sections where it tells what this little passage is about. And so these couple of verses right here, it kind of scripts it as the secret of the peace of God. It says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And so here we pray. And then we have to remember to be thankful. Be careful of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Let God know what you need. Do I really request the needs of my heart to God? Or do I sit and pray about things that I want? I tell you what, it's really, really dangerous if God was to give us what we wanted. God promised to give us what we need. But if he decided to give us what we wanted, it's not necessarily the best thing for us. I've said before, God sees tomorrow clearer than we see yesterday. And so not always do the things that we pray about come because they're not things that we need according to the will of God. But it said here a very important word, with thanksgiving, with thankfulness. So we shouldn't be those Christians that our prayers just stop and hit the ceiling. We shouldn't be counted in those that are astonished when our prayers are answered, or that whenever our prayers are answered, like they said in Acts, they called her mad when she said, hey, Peter's over here at the door. They said she was crazy. They did not believe that their own prayer worked. That shouldn't be us. We should be the farmer that goes out in the field and plants the seed after he prays for rain. That is the power of prayer. Turn with me, if you would, to James in chapter 5. James in chapter 5. I know I'm flipping around a lot. James in chapter 5. We're going to shoot for verse 13. It says, if any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick? Call for the elders of the church. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. It don't say prayer will save the sick. It says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If you don't believe what you're praying for, if you don't believe what you're praying in, most of all, if you don't believe who you're praying to, then it's kind of hard for God to deliver. Not hard on his aspect, but from a perspective of, if they really don't think I can do it, do they really need it? God said that we have to have faith whenever we pray. A prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, this is I feel like the word of God is inspired 100%, and that things are in here in a certain order. They're not just thrown together. They're not mixed up, mashed up. So when it says confess your faults and pray one for another, it's kind of talking about in that order. Now, there are things that I can have in my life that will hinder my prayer life. that will cause my prayers to hit the ceiling and stop. That if I'm not right with God, I can't really reach Him. I've heard people say before, "Brother, pray for me, because I can't get a prayer through right now." How often do we reach that state? How often do we get to the point that we have not repented and confessed our faults in order that we can pray? Whenever someone in our family gets sick, whenever someone in our family is lost, it is a sad condition to be in that you cannot reach the Lord with them, that you cannot lift them up to the Lord, that you cannot pray to that throne of mercy. It says immediately after that, verse 16, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The effectual, fervent prayer. Praying on purpose. Praying with a purpose. Praying with your heart right with God. The effectual, fervent prayer. Verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and yet it rained up not upon the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Talk about faith. Talk about power. Talk about exalting God through your prayer life. Elijah prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years, and whoop, just like that. You can read the case over in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7, that the dew didn't even fall upon the earth. There was nothing. Absolutely nothing. God took care of Elijah. He took care of him. He fed him with birds and the widow woman, and God took care of him. But it did not rain or dew or condensate upon the earth for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit. And you talk about a prayer of faith. No doubt this man did not believe that God might could do this. He didn't kind of have in his mind, no. He knew. He had faith that whatsoever he asked of God for his name and his honor and his glory, that God would answer him, especially in this case. And so we read here the account, or where James is writing it down, using Elijah as an example. He's saying, your prayer availeth much. Your prayer makes a difference. Your prayer can have an effect. Your prayer can change a life. And no doubt today that is no one of the most powerful aspects or weapons that we have in our life today is that ability to reach God's throne through prayer. He speaks to us through the preacher. He speaks to us through the song. He speaks to us through nature. And most of all, through His Word. But the only way for us to reach back and talk to Him is through prayer. Let's read in Matthew in chapter 6. It tells us a little bit about how to pray. And we're not going to go real deep into this. That'll be for a later study. We're just going to kind of hit the high points of how we are to pray. So we're going to begin in verse 9. This is Jesus speaking. He said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So we start out humble and reverently. Humble and reverently, knowing that we're not deserving of anything. We're not deserving at all of God's mercy, of God's grace, of God's promises He's made to us. We don't deserve it. Not in any aspect. So we come immediately in our prayer life as humble as we possibly can. We read the account of the two men who came to the priest to pray, to the son of a gun, I lost it. Came to the temple, I think it was a temple, to pray in Acts. You had the publican and the Pharisee, and the Pharisee lifted his head up toward heaven and said, "I'm glad I'm not like this publican." And this publican smote his breast and bowed his head. This man was humble. And so which one of the prayers did God hear? We all know the story that it was the publican, the man that was humble, and knelt before God in a humiliated spirit that God answered. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. God, I don't want to do anything that is contrary to your will. I want you to use me in your work. Give us this day our daily bread. Ask God to help you on a daily basis. What do we need? What do we require for our daily living, our daily bread? Not only that, our spiritual bread, our spiritual food. And so I try real hard to pray before and after I study, and when I get up and on my way to school and before school starts, and usually a couple of times during lunch. And no doubt we eat multiple times a day. I eat a bunch a day, to be honest. We should pray just as much. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we don't forgive others, how is God going to justly forgive us? This is talking about having our hearts right with God. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others their debts. Forgive us where we have failed. If you have not failed God in your life, then you need to reevaluate your life, because each and every one of us is sinners. And even after we are saved, our soul is cleansed. Our soul cannot sin again, but our body, our spirit, our flesh can. And we fail God, and on a daily basis, we have to repent and in order to keep our hearts and our minds right with God. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Help us to resist the devil. We know he's out there. We know he wants us. If he can't have our soul after we're saved, he wants our life. Help us to resist the devil. Lead us not into temptation. God, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. God is almighty. God is omnipotent. God is the ultimate, I guess is about the best word I can come up with. Awesome, amazing, merciful, all-powerful, gracious. So we come before him with a broken and contrite spirit. It says in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So this is talking about us becoming potential hypocrites. If we're going to hold something against someone and then ask God for forgiveness, how exactly does that work? And the truth is that it don't. And so it says, and we're going to skip down to verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Lay not up treasures on earth. So whenever we pray, we are praying to lay up treasures in heaven. We want God to help us. We want God to increase our burden, our drive. Help us to have the burden for the lost, the sick, the young people, the missionaries, the church, those that we should on a daily basis. Jesus has not given us a model prayer. No doubt in Sunday school, you probably memorized it. We always did in Sunday school. But if we just repeat a prayer that we've memorized or learned, we're really not praying from the heart. We're kind of praying from our mind. And it's a sad thing to miss it by 16 inches from your brain down to your heart. And it's not your natural heart. But the same concept, to miss it by 16 inches is kind of troubling. So whenever we pray, we have to mean it. We have to, as James said, pray in faith. Pray with our heart right with God. And no doubt today, if we pray with our heart right, we pray fervently, and we believe in what we're praying for and who we're praying to, God will hear us. And so our question was, did you think to pray? How often today do we forget? When I was growing up as a kid, I mean a little bitty kid, we always got down on our knees and we prayed before bed. And it was, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray my Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. Amen. Every night, that is what we prayed. And that was not as much a prayer at 5 and 6 years old, 4 and 5 and 6, we weren't saved. But our parents was teaching us the habits of praying. Did you think to pray? We did not ever, as long as I remember, sit down in front of a meal at my mama's house and not pray. always, 100% of the time, somebody prayed. And if we had a pastor over, a preacher, Pawpaw, they always pray. If nobody else was there, Daddy would usually lead the family in prayer. Somebody would always pray. We had Bible studies before we go to bed. Somebody would finish up praying. We got up in the morning. Most of the time, we'd sit down for breakfast and we'd all pray. And so it got to the point that it became a habit, not to the point of repeating a prayer, but sitting down and talking to God and asking Him to bless this food, to bless our day, to help us throughout the day, that we could resist temptation, that we could forgive those who wrong us, that we could exalt God in everything that we do. And so the more we read and study our Bible, the more that we realize that we really don't have a whole lot to offer God with the exception of our life. And even then, God is going to get His work done in spite of us, whether we're for Him or against Him. And so the way He talks to us is through His Bible, through His Word, through His men, even through nature He can speak to us. But the only way we can get back to Him, the only way that we can ask His forgiveness, that we can ask for His grace, to ask for His mercy, is to pray. So my prayer to God is that each and every one of us could be more mindful of our prayer life and no doubt have a greater burden to have a closer relationship with God, which in turn would be a better prayer life, would be a stronger prayer life, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God answers prayers. If you will bow with me, Heavenly Father, God, we love You and we thank You. Thank You for blessing us to be safe here again today, Lord. Thank You for this great country You allow us to live in. Lord, I pray that You continue to help us. Help us so we could take and receive Your word as You would have it to. Lord, I pray that You cleanse this message from any mistakes that I've made, Lord, that anyone listening can hear Your words. And Lord, I pray that You would help each and every one of us so we could be that light that You would have us to be. Lord, help us so we could shine in this dark world. Not that we could be honored, not that we could receive any glory, God, but that someone could see You through us. Lord, most of all, I pray that You would help, that we could increase our burden for this lost and dying world. Lord, help us so we could be the example that You would have us to be. Lord, help us so we could that we could have a greater, more powerful prayer life. Lord, that we could reach Your throne of grace. Lord, help us so we could stay in the center of Your will in everything that we say and do. Lord, I pray that You forgive us of our sins. Continue to bless throughout this evening. Most of all, have mercy on the lost. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.